You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. We got three people in the house tonight. We have my man, Devon Givens. The brother, you know what? That's my dude and all, but he just goes AWOL, and I don't see him for like a month or Sundays. Then he pops up, "Hey Keith," but it's all good.
You doing the podcast, Keith?
I know, right? We doing the podcast, and then we have my man Corey Sharp making his debut on the podcast. Corey, I'm glad to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You know, Corey's an intern with the Daily News. He's doing I would say HELL, but I don't know if people get upset, but he's doing a heck of a job. And last night was his first game that he covered, and I guess you realize it's a little bit tougher than people think.
A little tougher than I thought. You got to really keep up with the tweeting, and then as for you, you have a deadline, so that's even harder, you know.
Yeah, well, but you'll do it. You'll get it down. Yeah. But the good news or the bad news, depending on how you want to take it, if you're a Sixers fan and you want them to get a good draft pick, hey, they lost tonight, so that's good. I mean, they lost, you know, 102-90. To the Chicago Bulls, and if you're a Sixers fan, you want them to win. It wasn't exactly a good performance by the 76ers.
Yeah, absolutely. Right around the end of the second quarter, going into the halftime, you can start seeing things go the opposite way. The Sixers were down pretty big, and then they start to make a run, just like they always do. You make a good run, they don't quit. But then all of a sudden, you know, the better team just took over, and from there on, it was just what it was and what it turned out to be.
Right, you could just tell they were pretty much a step behind, you know, all night, and the Bulls were the better team. They were coming off a loss to the Knicks, and then the Sixers embarrassed them in their place a week or two ago. And I don't think they were going to let the Sixers beat them again.
No, they didn't. The thing about the Sixers, and this is something I think that maybe we need to address early, just, you know, talk about it. You know, Dario Saric, you know, Dario had 9 points. He had 9 points. He had 10 rebounds. He shot 3 for 8. I mean, three for eight, you know, that's less than 50%, but it's 3 for 8 is a whole lot different than going 1 for 8 or 1 for 10.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are making a big deal out of his foot, you know, that he's playing through pain. Me, I'm not making a big deal out of it. And the only reason why I'm not making a big deal out of it, because if the guy says that he can play and he can play through this pain, you know, typically when LeBron James or a Michael Jordan, a Kobe Bryant, a Chris Paul, let's go to a lesser extent, like, you know, just a role player does that, they don't want you to talk about it. And it just seems like Dario is getting a little bit uncomfortable talking about it because he wants to play with it. So I mentioned it early on, but I'm leaving it alone, man, because if he's good enough to play, then why should we keep bringing it up, you know?
Yeah, I guess, first of all, when you look at it, 3 games remaining on the season, your best player now with the injuries, and he's obviously your go-to guy. What else is there really to talk about? As you just said, there's draft picks and there's draft positioning that we're sitting here worried about. But when your best player at this point has an injury and he is, in fact, playing through it, that's going to be the storyline. And then it also is brought to light a little more when he has a shooting performance of 3 for 8 in a loss in those 22 minutes, since we all know he's now on a minutes limit. So I think it's going to come up simply because he's the best player, and he has this injury, and he's playing through it. Now, again, I agree with you. I think he wants to play, and I don't think he would talk about it or make a big sniff about it at all if no one is asking. But, again, being that it is what it is, and this team is where they are, with him being the feature player for their team, the question is going to come up, and he's going to have to answer. So is Brett Brown, and it's not going to be done until the season is over.
But my thing is, I don't want it to become like, okay, he's had a great season. He played a lot of games, right? But, you know, I don't want that to become the excuse. And I get it. He's the focal point. I mean, I'm going to give him some props for being the guy who played when there's a lot of other people who sat down. You know what I mean? I mean, so I
around the league, by the way.
Around the league, yeah. And that's what it, but at the, and like, let's face it, he is chasing a rookie of the year. So you're going to get him out there and you're going to play him. But the thing is, it's just to the point is, like, you know, if he's out there playing, if he's out there healthy, like Michael Jordan played with the flu. You know what I mean? And again, and I, you know, he played the flu. He did it. He dropped his points. He, you know, he did what he had to do. If he would have, if they'd have lost the championship, and then somebody said, "Yeah, man, but he had the flu. Y'all be the man with the flu." You know what I mean? Like, I mean, again, and I know a foot in the flu is completely different. But if he's able to play out there, and he's a guy who wants to play more minutes, he's not using that as an excuse. You know what I mean? I'm not saying let it go, but, you know, it's just one of those things.
I also feel that he's under a minutes restriction. That kind of brings it. Brett Brown has to talk about it. The medical staff has to talk about it. And then Sarge is being asked about it. When Michael Jordan had the flu, I understand it was a playoff game, but yeah, back in the day,
that should be a wrong. That's a wrong.
And that was the finals,
by right? It wasn't, but I don't know if he would have been on a minute restriction in a regular season game either. Nah. I just think the times have changed.
Yeah, maybe I used the wrong comparison, but I mean, okay. My thing is, I just think that he's not talking about it, and it's not sure. The story is, dude, if he had a bad will or not, they still weren't going to beat this team, dude. I mean, they're not. Like, the thing about it is, when, you know, they don't have Robert Covington, they don't have their best perimeter defender, right? You know, who, you don't have a backup point guard. Hey, TJ McConnell went down tonight, right? He came back.
Right.
But then you're looking like, whoa.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me Nick Stauskas is the only healthy ball handler they had?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the thing is, he can't do it all by himself, even if his foot was healthy. So people are like, oh, you know, that's part of the reason why they lost. No, it's like they can't beat anyone right now. They don't have the horses.
And the tough part is when you run into a team like the Chicago Bulls last night, the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow, and, of course, we know about the game on Monday where they face off against the Indiana Pacers. All three of those teams are fighting for playoff positioning in the Eastern Conference.
They're all tied.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're all going out to take it out on the Philadelphia 76ers and not lose. And that's just the bottom line. Now, maybe they'll pick up one against the Knicks in the season finale. Mm-hmm. But right now, as you said, Keith, they're just playing against better teams. Mm-hmm. And, again, with Sarge being the focal point, they're okay if T.J. McConnell and Justin Anderson, in the case last night, we had 17 points. You go ahead and go off. We're going to stop your main guy, and let's see if everyone else can take over and lead this team.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Because when he gets the ball, you notice. When he gets the ball, they double him.
Now, you can tell. Right. But you can also tell that the foot is bothering him. Mm-hmm. That being said, he's out there on the floor.
But he's out there playing. Yeah. That's my thing. He's out there playing. I get it.
You can tell, but
you can tell.
And you've seen him all year. You've seen him.
You can tell. But also, he feels uncomfortable talking about
it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, to me, I mean, I get props for him. I mean, I give him props for that. But at the same time, he's uncomfortable talking about it. And, like, you know, it comes to a point where, you know, that's not the look, dude, if my man was...
Go ahead. Let it out.
I don't know. I'm just saying, if he was extremely healthy, if he was... Man, I don't know, man. Right now,
Keith, you look, you know, at the roster, goes.
They just can't win right now because they're hurt. I mean, it's nothing against them. I mean, you look at it. So he shot 3 for 8. So Nick Stauskas shot 4 for 10.
Sure.
T.J. McConnell shot 4 for 12. Rashawn Holmes shot 4 for 11. Alex Poitras shot 1 for 6. Mm-hmm. Sean Long shot 2 for 9. Gerald Henderson shot 2 for 6. Bruh, if he shot 9 for 9, they would still lose that game. You know what I mean? It's just how it is. I'm just sorry. It's just how it is. But... Let's talk about T.J. McConnell. Mm-hmm. He impressed me. the fact that he went down, and I joked with him, I said, dude, look like somebody shot you in the butt. Didn't he though?
Yeah, he did. Look like
going to fetal position. But then, so I'm like, dang, maybe he's done. Maybe I'm thinking like, okay, maybe he's like not just done for the season. He's gonna be out for a while.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and he continues to play. 33 seconds into the game, he scores a reverse layup.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that shows some grit.
Well, I'll even take it back to the infamous Houston Rockets, Philadelphia 76ers game, the national television game where B scored 32 points. And I remember mentioning that Brett Brown had T.J. McConnell on James Harden, right? And you look at that and you say, what are you doing? Well, it goes to the point of what you're saying, Keith. He's a tough guy,
mm-hmm.
and with his toughness, that's something that you respect out of T.J. McConnell. He is where he is today in the 50-plus games that he started, starting for the Philadelphia 76ers, leading them to this record, albeit we can laugh at it, mm-hmm. but they are still, in fact, 28 right now and 51. A lot of those 28 wins, he had a big hand in that.
A lot.
And the toughness that he shows, it's just been something that we've seen the past two seasons. So when he did go down, and you're right, it looked like he took one and, you know, whatever. But to sprain the ankle the way he did, and for us to see him for 2 years and never see him go down and not get up, I was like, okay, yeah, this might be the one where he finally has to sit out a few games or an extended period of time, as you said. But then he came back because that's what T.J. McConnell does. He knows his standing in the NBA. He knows his standing on this team, and it's not going to stop him from keep fighting.
Yeah, how about when he dives on the floor down, what was it, 20 or 25 in Cleveland, you know, in the second half. The game is over, but you see him on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see, you know, you talked to Keith, you talked to Brett earlier about what has developed him the most, and he said his confidence, that he's able to go to Brett and tell him that, yeah, I don't like this, I don't like that, I see this. And I think that speaks volumes to how far he's come, you know, undrafted from Arizona. And here he is. He carved out his own niche.
Yeah, he really has. He really has. What are your thoughts right now on, Corey, what are your thoughts on Timothy Luwalo?
I like it. He's crafty around the rim. He made a nice scoop in the second half, a nice scoop layup with his left hand. You know, he took the contact. I hear on the broadcast that Ala Abdelnaby says he has to hit the weight room. I would probably agree with that. But if he improves his jumper and his handle, I mean, he's got a lot to improve mm-hmm. on. But I really like him around the basket. He really finishes. He's a strong finisher.
Yeah, he's good. Now Jimmy Butler had a triple double tonight. I mean, he had 18 points, 10 assists, and 10 boards. He did have 6 turnovers, but come on, man, he still had, no, excuse me, he had 19 points. I mean, he still had, he still had 6 turnovers, but I'm not going to, like, you know, fault him
yeah.
for that, because this was a game where there was a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, triple-double, that's strong.
That was a quiet triple-double, too.
Absolutely.
I didn't even realize until I looked at the stats.
Absolutely, I agree. And that's why he's one of the elite wing players in the NBA right now, because you know that at any given time, he can obviously put up some points. He can do some other things where it turns out he make the big play for his team to start to turn it around and become successful and ultimately win the game. So, yeah, Jimmy Butler, and in fact, as you mentioned, you're missing Robert Covington. Justin Anderson can only do so much as the elite. I'm not even going to say elite. Excuse me, I misspoke. The only wing player that they really have on the perimeter. And again, you're going against an all-NBA player, so it's going to be a tough matchup anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Quiet triple-double.
Yeah. Now, what about they got Milwaukee on Saturday?
Same situation.
Yeah, you have the freak coming to town.
After their last game was April 4th, on Tuesday, and they got rocked by the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma mm-hmm. City, where, of course, Russell Westbrook, as we speak of triple-doubles, tied Oscar Robertson's mark of triple-doubles with 12 points, 13 assists, and 13 rebounds. So they had no shot. They lost mm-hmm. 110-79 in that game. So you know that being their last game, and again, needing these victories, the Milwaukee Bucks, they're going to come in here looking for blood. And I expect them to come in here similar to what the Chicago Bulls did last night, and unfortunately, the outcome will probably be the same.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is what it is. But in regards to, you know, right now, like we said before, they lost. So now they have the tied for the fourth worst record. Mm-hmm. What do you think their chances are of keeping it?
Very good. The only shot they have is that last game in New York, and it depends on what they do from here on out. That could actually mean a lot, that game. But I think Mel has been out the last couple games, and so that would be the only one that they'd have a shot in. So I think they have a good shot of keeping that fourth worst spot.
Now, I don't think they'll beat Milwaukee, but if they had a chance, what do you think that they would have to do to beat the Bucks?
Stop the Greek Freak. I mean, I don't. You know, we talk about Covington being out. I mean, yeah, it's the same situation. Yeah.
Well, the other guy for me is Chris Middleton. If you allow him to get off in the way he does it, where he also goes to the basket, but for me, his jump shooting is crazy. And if he can get that going and open things up for Giannis and Antetokounmpo, and then we know about, obviously, with Malcolm Brogdon. Of course, he didn't play last game with back soreness, but he's another piece to what they do. Off the bench, Greg Monroe. There are different things that could cause problems for the Sixers. So I think stopping either one of the Greek Freak and Chris Middleton would be a good start of trying to come away with the victory.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm looking forward to seeing that game.
Oh, I am
just
too.
Just because... Yeah. You have Dario and Brogdon, you know, to see who's going to be Rookie of the Year. A lot of people, it's funny, you know, when Embiid went down, we all were under the impression, okay, it's Dario's to lose. But now you're hearing, like, outside of Philadelphia that there's a lot of people who, I'm not saying a lot, but there's a you know, enough people who are starting to throw some votes at Brogdon because the team is playing better. But then... you can make an argument that he doesn't have to be the focal point.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have to be that guy. So he's getting shots that Dario is not able to get.
Well, I think it's always been those three guys. It was obviously Embiid's from the start, but once he went down and the 31 games was the max that he was going to play the season, and the fact that Dario was doing what Dario was doing. But Malcolm Brogdon has been consistently good for the Milwaukee Bucks in a playoff chase. So for anyone to flat out ignore what Malcolm Brogdon has done this year would be a crime, because he's been very good. And then you also look at the fact that he's a second round pick doing what he's doing for this playoff team. And for all the things that people said he couldn't do, he's doing exactly what he did at University of Virginia. And he's doing some really good things surrounded by that team. Now, again, Keith, as you just mentioned, and Corey, I'm sure you can jump in this as well, that he's not doing what Dario Saric is doing, where he is the focal point. He's not the lead guy. But he's come up with some big games against big teams. The 20-plus point game that he had against the Boston Celtics in Boston, where they needed that win.
Right.
And he was a key contributor to that win. So there are some things. Listen, they're all going to be on first team, all NBA rookie team, but I still think it's Dario Saric's to lose.
So do I. I think what he's done at all, it should stick out. Yeah, usually people remember what you do last. And I think this run that Dario went on kind of supplanted, I think, Embiid. You know, because Embiid, it felt like a year ago since the last time he played. So, but I think Dario overall has done enough to solidify Rookie of the Year.
I agree. But hey, y'all, I want to thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I'd like to have you on again, Corey. And, you know, you always have a welcome. It's just that, you know, you do, and he does too. But it's just, you know, I don't know the next time I'm going to see my man. But, Corey, I want you to let people know how they can follow you on Twitter, your Twitter handle and stuff like that.
Twitter handle is at CoreSharp, CoreSharp, and then 20. So CoreSharp 20, and post everything, all the articles, and from philly.com, and that's it.
All right. And you know, I know y'all know where to get them at, but reach them at. But can you like at least inform them again?
Yeah, I know the drill. At DevonG975, and of course you can catch me on 975thefanatic.com, various times throughout the week and the weekend. So if you follow me on Twitter, DevonG975, I will definitely let you know when I'll be on.
All right, and I want to thank y'all for listening to this podcast, and I'll be back with y'all tomorrow after. After the Bucks and Sixers game. Peace.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.